Welcome to the Crude Life Media Network podcast. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist. And on today's episode, we talk with Dan Hetherington from SEH about the Davis Refinery, a public meeting in Belfield, North Dakota, and how the permitting process takes a little bit of time and patience. In just a moment, our interview with Dan Hetherington. But first, I want to take this moment to remind you good folks to please support our sponsors. They literally keep our lights on. That's Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Go to coachingwithhatch.com for more information or send me an email at jason@thecrudelife.com, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I will personally make sure that Eric Hatch gets your email. MBI Energy Services. For more information about MBI or to see their latest job openings, visit their website, www.mbienergyservices.com. And now, our interview with Dan Hetherington with SEH about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota.
My name is Dan Hetherington. I am a principal and a senior project manager with SEH, which is short Elliott Hendrickson.
All right, so let's talk a little bit. Let's get an update on the Davis Refinery out in Belfield, North Dakota. You know, we've been following this pretty close here at Building the Bakken and the Crude Life and our other sister show, Coffee and Capitalism. And, you know, I've been kind of scanning some of the articles that have been coming across and a little bit of mixed message at times revolving this permit process. And I wanted to ask your opinion, and you're kind of an expert in this field and you're working on the project. So I think you could probably validate and add quite a bit of credence to what's going on out there. Here, I'm going to kind of quote this verbatim here. The state of North Dakota is committed to the health and economic welfare of its citizens. The North Dakota Department of Health Environmental Health Section is charged with making sure that projects such as Meridian Energy Group's Davis Refinery meet stringent federal and state air quality emission requirements. The proposed Davis Refinery air quality application is a top priority, and the department will work with Meridian through the application review process to ensure that the Davis Refinery meets federal and state air quality requirements. What are your thoughts on the quote from David Glatt, department section chief?
Well, actually, I mean, I like that quote very much. I mean, it's a very professional response about a very complicated responsibility. So really, just to kind of get to the meat of what he said there, is that he makes reference to stringent federal and state air quality emissions and all that kind of stuff. Really what it boils down to is that this project is highly regulated, especially when it comes to air emissions and air quality, highly, highly regulated. So what it boils down to is he and his staff have dedicated a team of people to review our project, to go through it thoroughly. And I'm talking about every little component, everything you can imagine. They look at, you know, not only the big picture and what the overall emissions are, they look at individual pieces of equipment and what kind of emissions those equipment have, and then what kind of guarantees that the manufacturers of those equipment will give. So it's his references to that, I mean, is right on the money. And the other point that I really took out of that was that it's a top priority for him and his staff and his team to review this project, which we've seen. And I can vouch for that firsthand. I can say, yeah, they are working their cans off on this thing. It's going very well, and we're very thankful for that. They have dedicated team members that are jumping all over this. They're going through it thoroughly. We're expecting a letter where they're asking for a little bit of clarification on some of the data that, you know, we provided them, and that clarification is detailed. I mean, it's down inside the nitty-gritty, if that makes sense, if you don't mind me kind of giving you that. But it what it tells me is that they are going through this thing with a fine-tooth comb, and we're pleased as all get out because of the amount of attention that they're giving it. They are taking it very, very seriously, and we appreciate it tremendously because we've put a lot of effort into designing this facility, understanding the internal workings of it thoroughly so that we could reduce the emissions as much as possible.
I'm going to take your comment and I'm going to sandwich it together with Terry O'Claire from the State Department. I talked to him a few weeks ago about a variety of things, and the Davis Refinery came up, and he made a comment that stuck with me, which is, this is the first refinery in 40, 50 years, Greenfield Refinery in the United States, and they want to ensure that it is clean and that all the regulations are met. And he made an example. you know, kind of like just even internally, some of the gadgets that are being put in there, the pipes and some of the air ducts and things like that, based on Edward Martinez's comments with Zia Engineering, some of the advancements they make. And that's what he said about how they got to go all the way back to the manufacturer in order to ensure that all this information is correct. And the first thing I thought of was timelines and anxiety. And, you know, because when you're talking about the first greenfield refinery in the United States in 40, 50 years, everybody wants to make sure this is correct. And from the state of North Dakota's perspective, they're going to be setting a standard now for the entire industry. Talk to me a little bit about how, you know, you guys, I imagine you've got some timelines. Is everybody okay with this? Is everybody being patient? Let me just phrase it that way. Is everybody being patient with this whole deal?
Oh, yes. Everyone is. So we're in the process of trying to permit the state-of-the-art facility that is going to be the newest in decades and decades. And so what's happening is that we fully expect that the governing authorities involved with this are going to be going through it thoroughly. So this is something we expect. Like I said, we're thrilled with everybody that we've been dealing with in North Dakota, just the amount of attention they're giving to it, the amount of priority that they're giving our project. Is the timeline, you know, would we like to see it faster? Of course, everybody does. You'd like to see things move along so that you can get, you know, shovels in the ground sooner and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, those of us that are involved with the construction end of things, we're going, you know what, winter comes fast in North Dakota, and when it hits hard. So we want things sooner. But we would much more rather have a situation where the authorities that are reviewing this and approving these applications have 100% confidence that what we're saying is true, the information we're providing is accurate, and that if someone, you know, tries to argue the fact later on, that we'll have all of our ducks in a row and everything will have been done properly. So on the whole, we're very, very pleased with what's going on. We're looking forward to working with these governing officials as we move along, but things are going very well.
Is there anything specifically that you guys are kind of keeping an eye on type of a thing when it comes to the air quality?
Well, so we know 100%, we're 100% confident that the North Dakota officials are reviewing our project and they're reviewing it thoroughly. So right now, like I said, the latest and the greatest is that we're expecting a letter asking for some clarifications on some of the data that was supplied to them. And we're going to respond to that very, very quickly. So as soon as we get that official, you know, request, we'll jump on that, provide them with information. As they continue to review it, we're hoping for a situation where they deem the application complete, that they have all of the data that they need to make their decisions. That's why they're actually asking for just a little bit of data now. Once that happens, we'll be in a great position to where they finalize their review, and hopefully we'll get our permit sooner than later.
And my next question might seem like parsing words a little bit, but to the average person, it might seem like parsing words, but you might know a little bit more specifically what I'm talking about. This permit now, it was not resubmitted, it was amended. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're actually right on the money. So there are distinctions between how you apply for permits. So you'd explain that maybe for some of the listeners, but really what it boils down to is that you make your initial application, you submit that documentation, and then if you were to somehow withdraw that request and then say resubmit it a year later, it's considered a new application. What we did was something that I would consider to be a little bit unique. So I'm going to go into this in a little bit of detail, and you cut me off if you think that's appropriate, because I'm fine with that. So the basics is we submitted our original application back in October, and through the just going through the design process and going through finalizing components and things like that, some of the design engineers found some components that they felt if they modified the design that they could reduce emissions even more. Now remember, that first application was submitted with our expected emissions being less than the allowable threshold for emissions in that area. So we thought we were in a great position as it was for the original application. Well, when the Meridian leadership team was approached with that information that, hey, by the way, we could switch out some components and make this even better. The decision was made, do it. We want it better. We want even less emissions if we have to. So what we did, in April or early April, we submitted an amendment. So what we did is we went in there and said, okay, same location, same project, same, you know, basic stuff, but we're switching out some of the components. So we made an amendment to our application and submitted that document, that series of documents. And then, so that's what's being thoroughly reviewed right now.
Water permit. I know we spoke last time about some water permits, and I'm not sure if I haven't read anything that has been approved yet, but maybe you might know. What's the status of the water permit out there in the Davis refinery?
I definitely do know the existing status. We stay on top of all of these almost daily. We're monitoring the progress, understanding where we are, and that way we're in a situation where we can respond to questions or comments or anything like that. So the basics on the water appropriation permit was I spoke with the director of the Water Appropriation Division last week, and the draft permit, we're expecting that sometime around the first week in June. So we're moving along very well on that one as well. We're, you know, very hopeful that things are going well on that end, and we fully expect that they are. So things are going well on that. We hope to get the draft permit first week in June, plus or minus, and then we'll go through the public comment period and then see where we are from there.
Dan Hedrington with SEH, and we're talking about the Davis refinery being put out by the Meridian Energy Group. Last week or a couple weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago, they had a event in Belfield, kind of a public Q&A. Do you know much about that Q&A? Do you got any comments on it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I attended it, and it was, to be honest with you, Jason, it was a lot of fun. We were very pleased with the amount of attendees that we, you know, came to the event. It was put on by the local community. So City of Belfield put it on. They wanted to make sure all of their citizens and surrounding area people, you know, were all invited, that they were as informed as they could be. And we were pleased that they asked. And so we went to the event. It was held at the local theater, and it was a great venue for the location. You could see every one of the people that were asking questions. We were down in front, so, you know, they're kind of in that elevated seating, so we could see each one, and they could see us, and they could hear us real well. We had a great event. The locals that were there, the vast majority were very, very, very supportive. Even, you know, what was surprising to me, we had a series of questions, and some of the tougher questions even came from the supporters. Wanted to make sure that, you know, they support this project, but hey, you're paying attention to these environmental concerns, aren't you? And yes, we are, and we're making sure we talked about water, we talked about jobs, we talked about the quality of the workforce that we will have at the facility. So yeah, it was a great event. It went very, very well.
How do you think Meridian did answering the questions from the locals? I've talked to the CEO, William Prentice, several times, and he's mentioned how Meridian is making a concentrated effort to be more engaged with the community. Just based on be a fly on the wall for me for a second, how did they do answering some of the questions? Did the people seem satisfied? Did they seem like they had more questions afterwards?
They actually seemed very satisfied. And afterwards, we kind of had a, I don't want to call it a reception afterwards, but, you know, people kind of meander around. They come up and ask questions and, additional stuff when it's kind of one-on-one. And it was very, very positive. So people, I think, were very satisfied with what was going on. So Meridian sent in, I think there were six of us. So six of us, all from different disciplines or different portions of the project. So we had people there that were, you know, specifically, you know, head of operations. We had people there that were, you know, talking about, you know, the crude, securing the crude, and then the offloading of refined products. We were able to answer about any question. Actually, I would say any question that was asked of us, we had the people who were in the know on that topic. So Meridian goes all out on these, and they put in, they don't just, you know, say, okay, let's just send one person and try our best. They say, no, let's send out the team. Let's make sure that everybody's there and everybody can answer the questions as they arise. So it went very, very well. I think Meridian is responding just you know, in an outstanding manner, and I think the locals are appreciative of it, and they showed that by just, to be honest, the round of applause that we received at the completion of it. It was very supportive and very enthusiastic, and we're proud to be a part of it. It keeps us, you know, highly motivated when you know all the locals are very enthusiastic about our project as well.
And I know what you mean, where they're supportive, but they have questions, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people in Western North Dakota are very protective of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. The last time you and I spoke, we talked about the kite test, which was great, you know, to do that. And because you guys have gone to some pretty amazing lengths in order to satisfy and ensure that this is not going to be problematic, this is not going to be an eyesore and those types of things. What type of, you know, I guess, satisfaction is being done for the locals when it comes to the visibility? I know you've done the kite test, but did that come up, and is there anything more that is being done to kind of satisfy the hesitation when it comes to Theodore Roosevelt National Park?
So, yeah, and actually, so you made a good point. From the beginning, we were directed by the leadership team, specifically William Prentice, like you had mentioned him earlier, the CEO of the company. His major concerns are making sure that we're taking all of these impacts to locals, impacts to the park, we're taking all of those issues very, very seriously, top priority kind of stuff. So the original siting of the facility, remember, we have access to a fair amount of property out there, especially with the support of the local ranchers that we have. That site was picked specifically because we knew then, when we started doing our initial modeling just of the visual impacts of the facility, that if we put it in that location, we lowered it down, it would be lower than the horizon line. So all of those efforts that you talked about as far as for the kite test and those kind of issues and those visual tests, those are by design. I mean, we didn't just happen to put it somewhere and say, guess what? We got lucky and said, you can't see it, and went up there and crossed our fingers. That wasn't the case. We knew that we were confident that it wasn't going to be seen. So those issues were taken into account from the, you know, original siting of the facility. We had to site it for many, many other reasons in that location, as far as for connectivity to rail and pipelines and the highway system and all of that kind of stuff. It's a great location for our model. So we took those visual impacts, you know, very seriously right off the bat. What's going on currently is just making them better. So we are looking at putting in berms around the facility and putting natural vegetation on those berms. The local universities have offered some help, and we've actually reached out to them, said, you know, would you like to participate in evaluating these visual impacts and helping us to develop screening methods, like I said, berms, trees, vegetation, that kind of stuff that would grow naturally in that setting, to reduce it even more. So, you know, we want to do the best that we can from multiple locations. So it's not just the park. The park is a big issue, obviously, but everywhere else we're trying to minimize it. We're using color schemes that match the existing terrain out there. We're using berms. We're using vegetation. So we're doing a lot of stuff, and that continues because we're getting some support from local universities and just locals in the area anyway that have good ideas. So it's ongoing.
How about government officials? Did any government officials show up to this public meeting out in Bellefield? And if so, what was their response to all this?
Yeah, actually, they did. And it was the same kind of thing I discussed earlier, is that very enthusiastic, very supportive. Some of the officials were able to discuss some of the impacts as far as for jobs and tax base and growth in the area. There was even, you know, some people that were able to recall, you know, the businesses that used to exist that kind of died off before the boom, and, you know, kind of lamented the fact that, you know, they weren't able to preserve those. So this is something that I think the local officials are very supportive of, even though they're watching things very closely. So supportive and enthusiastic doesn't mean that they're not paying attention to the details, because they are, and we're offering them opportunities to provide input to different components of the facility and the way that we handle certain things, just because we know that it affects them more than anything and their constituents. So we've had great support from the local officials in the area.
Dan Hendrington, SEH, just kind of some final thoughts, something either that we might have missed, anything you feel like you might need to be reiterated, or if you want to take a whole new direction. I'd just kind of like to give every guest the final word. So the floor is yours, sir.
Well, to be honest with you, Jason, I'm just, this project is an outstanding project. I know the individuals that are on the leadership team. I know them well. I know their intentions. I know what their goals are. I know what's important to them. And I know the team. I know the engineers on the staff. I know the operators that are hired. I know that this is the, I would say, one of the best teams that I've ever seen in my career. These people are dedicated and very, very, very concerned about everything that would impact the locals in the area, the state, and the federals, or so as far as for the United States as a whole. And I'm just excited about this project. This is an outstanding project. I think that it has great impacts to the locals as far as for the local municipalities, but the state of North Dakota, you made reference earlier that North Dakota is going to be a, you maybe didn't use this term, but this is going to be kind of a role model project. North Dakota is going to be a leader in this. And then for the United States as a whole, this is a new refinery. This is taking Bakken oil and turning it into a refined product that can be used that would offset other products that might need to be brought in or offset the need to take the crude from the Bakken to other parts of the country, refine it there, and then bring it all the way back. When we can do it right here in North Dakota, this is an exciting project. So just the major impacts about the project itself, but also the team is really what makes the project, and we've got an amazing team.
And that was Dan Hetherington with SEH. To listen to this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. It's free and it comes once a week. We're also on social media. Check out our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. And once again, we'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the Crude Life Media Network. Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Go to coachingwithhatch.com, that's coachingwithhatch.com, for more information, or send me an email at jason@thecrudelife.com, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I will personally make sure Eric Hatch gets your email. MBI Energy Services. For more information about MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job openings, visit their website, www.mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. And that's it for this episode. Till next time, be happy, and remember, sometimes life can be crude. We'll see you next time, folks.
She's gonna free her man with the midnight special. Shine a light on me with the midnight special, Lord. Shine a light on me.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.